of puppies. I would like to come in and read the word of God. Now look, if you are on your way to heaven, and I am on the way to hell, what do you think to do?
Can't do it. We'll do it live.
Okay.
No. We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
And WBAI, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning. I think you guys are doing a terrific job. There's some wonderful people overnight. I think Matt Schneid is brilliant and Arpo Martin brilliant, but I don't know how many people get to hear them. And I want to say thanks. A tremendous job.
Well, thank you very much for that.
WBAI New York. I'm your curator and janitor, Max Schmid. At any rate, time's a wasting. We gotta get to Gene Shepherd. We're gonna run over, but we started late. I don't care. Yes, it's Boardwalk Pass to Asbury Park or some damn thing. I don't know what it is. Pass to Asbury Park from this very day in history, June 18th, 1971. Lost Gene Shepherd here in the dustbin of history, WBAI in New York.
And I'll tell you, June is a very emotional time for me.
as it is for everybody. June is a nervous time because you know what happens in June, the month, you know. You have an imminent sense of failure and a frantic sense that you better do something about it. Because June is the month when everybody says, look, baby, this year we are not going to waste the summer. We're going to get every last thing out of it. Every last bit of ecstasy. And all of a sudden it's July. You haven't even bought a new pair of mad dress shorts. And it's, you know, it's our time. It's our life. It's our people. It's June. Well, let me tell you, friends, I have had some bad times in June. Bad times. I'll never forget one June I spent right in Jersey, the state of Jersey. People have written to me and said, Shepherd, why do you dig Jersey so much? Or they've written and said, Shepherd, if you don't lay off Jersey, the mafia's going to get you. After all, let's remember who owns that state. You're talking about private property. And then, you know, it's got this big black hand on the letter. When I get it, oh, I've gotten several of those, you know, made out of headlines. They paste the headlines together, you know. Lay off Jersey. Well, let me tell you, I have a specific reason for being the way I am, and I'll never forget it. I was in the Army. Now, hardly anybody remembers the state where he was stationed in any of the services with any degree of affection. I don't care if you were stationed in paradise. Because being a yardbird man is being a yardbird no matter where you are, right, Art? And the world of the yardbird is the world of the yardbird. And I mean, even if it's a great climate and everything else, the grease trap is the grease trap. And the China Clipper is the China Clipper. So I was stationed briefly, one period in a very checkered career. I was stationed briefly at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. Okay, that's pretty innocent up to now. And we had been redlined. Now, you know what being redlined is, don't you? You do. For those of you who don't know, redline means that they draw a red line through the pay list. And that means you don't get paid. So we had been redlined, our whole company, for about at least 6 weeks. No pay, nothing. We've been shipping all over the country, and all of a sudden I'm at Monmouth. And now everything's cool. We're going to get a pass for this weekend. And I'm all excited. And it's beautiful. Oh, it's summer out. Because, you know, sometimes in the Army, it seems like winter goes on for 5 years, maybe 10 years sometimes. And the barracks are cold, and you're out in these crummy tents and stuff. But now it's beautiful. And just 2 weeks before, we had changed to suntans. And when you make that big change from ODs to suntans, the OD is the wool, you know, the wool is the standard Army uniform. When you change to suntans, it's like suddenly being reborn. It's like, it is. It's like the moth shedding his chrysalis or the larvae shedding the cocoon or something. And suddenly you're reborn and you got these groovy suntans on you. You've had them down the bottom of your barracks bag all year. And now you take them out and you take them to cleaner. They're all beautifully pressed and they're so crisp and crunchy and they smell so good. After, you know, your ODs get so gamey after a winter of wearing your ODs. You only got two or maybe three shirts, and they're wool. And, of course, they start fermenting. And after a while, little things start growing in them. And, you can hear it at night. Yeah, at night you can hear one shirt talking to the other sometimes. You can just hear it moving around, see. And so, you know, you ever think of that side of the Army, you see. You have to make do with this stuff. But that minute, that ecstatic moment, when you first put on your summer suntans after a winter of wearing your ODs, and man, you feel all of a sudden 50 pounds lighter. You know, that OD uniform is heavy. You feel great. You feel, you know, somehow you're fantastically handsome and everything. You put this thing on, you tie, you know, very snappy. Well, this Saturday morning, everybody's excited. We're getting a pass. About a third of the company is getting out. Shepherd's name is up there on the list. Me and Gasser are getting out, and we're all excited. And between the two of us, we have about maybe $12 that we can knock together. We're going to go out. You know, we know nothing about Jersey. Nothing. We know nothing about this whole area. We have just shipped in. Gasser's from California. I'm from Indiana, you know. So this is just sort of a fabled place. And to me, up to this time, Jersey had been a name. And you know how it is when you have, in your own mind, you have connotations of places. For example, if I say to you, I mean, a place you haven't been to, you somehow have an image of it. If I say to you, Minnesota. Now, you see Minnesota somehow. You've never been there, but somehow you can picture Minnesota, what you think Minnesota is. Well, it often, in fact, almost in every case, is nothing like that. Well, up to the point that I had first come to Jersey, somehow, and don't ask me why, New Jersey had always had a... I always pictured it as kind of a very clean place. It seemed very clean, sort of bright and sunny. Oh, boy. Was I wrong, man? But somehow, it seemed like that to me. And I arrived in Jersey on a train. I'm in the barracks there for a couple of weeks before we got our pass. Never really saw anything of Jersey. Because, you know, when you're in a big camp and you don't have a pass, you know, one camp's the same as the next. That's the end of it. And then that Saturday. And the night before, the sergeant, our first sergeant, who traveled with us, we never got rid of him. The first sergeant is walking around in the barracks, and he says, all right, now, you guys, don't forget, we're going to have a regimental parade. It's going to be a full regiment, maybe two regiments tomorrow. They have big parades here on these permanent army posts. I want all you men's to be ready tomorrow. It's going to be in full suntans. I want you guys to be ready and on the ball, because right after inspection, we're going to go out and have that big parade. We want all you guys to really be sharp. We want the 1362nd Mess Kit Signal Repair Battalion to be the best damn battalion in the whole Signal Corps, right?
Yeah.
All right, you guys. I want you on the ball tomorrow. And then he goes drifting out into the night. He was the kind of guy that wore green Air Force sunglasses at midnight. You know that kind? He had stripes, friend, that went from his wrist all the way up around between his shoulder blades on each arm. And he had them tattooed on his skin. So it's now a bright and shiny Saturday morning. I wake up, I rush down, you know, it's 5 o'clock in the morning, and we go through the usual routine, which is, you know, kind of milling around. They read the roll, they stand there, the guy stands in the dark. It's dark in Jersey, you know, 5:15 in the morning. He's got this clipboard reading roll. And we rush down to the train and shave like mad and rush into breakfast, which consisted of French toast and Wheaties. I had a bowl of Wheaties, so I'm all ready to go. Really feeling great. You know, I'm going to get out. This is going to get out. I'm going to see Jersey. And, it's summertime. The sun is coming up. So we straighten up the barracks, and about 9, 10 o'clock, we have our barracks inspection. Now, you all know what barracks is. You've seen this in the movie a million times, so I will not bore you with that, you know. Everybody's standing by their bunk. But nevertheless, this day we're, you know, sharp. And now it is noon. We're about to have our battalion parade. Now, if you've ever marched in a battalion parade, you know, or a regimental parade, you know exactly what happens. All the companies are lined up out there. And Lieutenant Cherry's redneck. He's our lieutenant, our CO. First Lieutenant Cherry is standing out in front of his, you know, the fighting 1362nd Mess Kit Repair Battalion Airborne. And he's standing out in front of us there looking, you know, sharp. He's got his pinks on, the whole jazz. And way off in the distance, you hear this band start to play. You can hear them starting, you know, way off. They start playing. They always play the same thing. Can you hear them? Way off at the end of the drill field, you see these tiny figures on top of a big platform. Flags are waving. There's one big orange flag with three white stars. Lieutenant General is down there. That's as close as I ever got to a Lieutenant General. 4 million miles away, you just see that floating flag, you know? You know? And so our company, and Lieutenant Cherry turns and says, all right, head, change, head! Company! Right face! We start shuffling off, see, right face. You see the company on our left there is shuffling off behind us. The company on our right is shuffling off ahead of us. And Cherry says, come on! Left! Oh, Blake! Arch! That's a tricky one. We left, oh, Blake, arch. That's a goodie. And now we're sort of drifting out of the field all by ourselves, you know. Cherry says, company! Forward, hedge! We swing it at, and starts going. And suddenly the entire regiment is now in regimental formation. We're marching across that giant drill field at Monmouth. Flags flying. That band's playing, man. I can see Gasser ahead of me. The sweat is beginning to drip down between his shoulder blades. His new suntans. The dust is coming up. There it goes already. And I can feel the sweat dripping down, just dripping down underneath my armpits. The whole business. The band is now swinging along. They're getting ready for another number. Here they go again. They start moving it out. Alongside of us is old Kowalski. Sergeant Kowalski. Hup, hup, hup. Hup, hup, hip, hup, hup. Come on, dress up that line, you guys! Hup, 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 hup. Pull in your guts! Hup, hup, hup. Now we are swinging in front of that big wooden scaffolding. We can see that orange flag floating with the three big stars. The tiny figures up there. We are marching ahead. America's finest fighting men. The 367th Mesquite Repair Battalion, airborne, is now moving out in parade. Eyes right! Everybody turns eyes right. I can hear Gasser swearing ahead of me. He's got a bad shave, you know, his collar's scratching him. You can see where the rash is going up next to his ear. So damn hot, this drifting crud coming up to your feet. Well, that's over. Marching forward. Slug, 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 slug. I can feel my pants now, which have been beautiful. Oh, they've been so sharp. Now my pants are like vertical accordions, you know? I can feel the sweat down in my socks. We're moving up and down. What the hell is all this about? Anyway, flags flying. The band is playing. Way up ahead. Company! Left face! And you can see all up and down the line there. Companies at left face, halting, moving out. And now we're all by ourselves again. We are no longer in battalion formation or regimental formation. And Cherry is standing up in front of us. Men, that was a disgraceful exhibition. You realize, of course, you have humiliated me. Sergeant Kowalski. We have given you so much in the last 2 years. Why, at this point, do you have to let us down? For a few brief moments there, and incidentally, Kowalski was standing there with his sunglasses glinting, vague smile on his Scranton, Pennsylvania face. Lieutenant Cherry, who was by the way, he was a Citadel graduate. Lieutenant Cherry, oh, they're the worst. Lieutenant Cherry is standing out there with that look, his pinks, his sweaty dust on his shoes. For a couple of minutes, I thought maybe what we ought to do this afternoon, possibly a little close order company drill. But due to the fact that this is my wife's birthday, and I am basically a human being and a kind person, I've decided to allow those of you who have your passes approved to use them. But I want to tell you this. As of Monday, 0800, things are going to change in Company K. We didn't give a damn about Monday. In the Army, you just don't think about Monday when it's Saturday, friends. And Cherry looks at Kowalski. The sun is beating down. Oh, is it hot? Oh, man, it was beautiful. Sun is beating down. He looks at Kowalski and says, Sergeant, take over the company. At that point, Kowalski is in his meteor. He loved it. He starts moving back and forth in front of the company. He says, all right, you guys, you heard what the lieutenant said. It was disgusting. Gives eyes right, half you guys looked left. What do you think they was laughing about up there on that platform? You don't think they was laughing about Company D, do you? Did you see how sharp C Company was? Company K. And everybody knows he ain't going to do nothing because the lieutenant says you're going to get the pass, so he's not going to do a damn thing. See, he's just blowing, that's all. Just wants to let you know. So finally, after he walked up and down for about 5 minutes in this beautiful June summer day, he stands out in front of the company, looks us up and down, says, "All right, you guys, attention! Dismissed!" And we run. We are now free. We are now free from the evil machine, which reminds me, this is WOR, New York.
What goes on in prison today is a crime. Fortune in Men's Eyes is the story of a boy named Smitty.
Name?
Smith, sir.
Age?
19.
Sir?
Sir.
Occupation?
Student. X.
Smitty is spending some time in prison.
I'm busted for grass. My old man turned me in.
He wasn't really afraid to go until he got there.
Stop it! If you don't leave me alone, I'm a color guard.
Stop it!
Don't ever depend on the guards for protection.
I need the bat!
Takes time to get used to the games here.
I need the bat!
There'll be other Smitties.
If you've ever faced the possibility of prison for any reason, perhaps you should see Fortune and Men's Eyes. It might open yours. Fortune and Men's Eyes. From MGM. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Yeah, Fortune and Men's Eyes. Let's see, on Broadway at the Translux West Theater, and on the east side at the Translux East Theater.
Palisades has the rides, Palisades has the fun. Come on over. Shows and dancing are free, so's the parking, so gee. Come on.
Let the people over as the dance. Parking fee is tough to fool. Let the dive by the moat. Palisades amusement park swings all day and after dark.
Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum.
Ride the coaster, get cool. In the waves of the pool, you'll have fun, yeah.
So come on, come on, over,
ba-ba, yeah. Fun lovers, Palisades is wide open. If you're going to come into New York any one of these days, you ought to make that scene. They have a couple of hundred rides. You know, Palisades Amusement Park, one of the last great amusement parks in the country. And this is their last year, so if you're going to make that amusement park scene at all, you better do it this year and forever hold your peace. So come on over and swim in the big pool at Palisades. Bum, ba-dum, bum, bum. Okay? Oh, but then what happened? Gasser and I go rushing into the John. It's funny how you can remember specific instances. I go running into the John, into the latrine, see? They had all these mirrors up there. And I've got my shirt open now. And I'm gonna shave again. I want to make sure, you know, because we shaved about 5 o'clock in the morning, see? And I want to make sure. No telling what's going to happen in town, see? So I shave like mad, and I'm all excited. And I've changed my shirt. I had an extra suntan shirt, but I was stuck with the pants because my other suntans were at the cleaners, see? So I've changed my shirt. I've got my pants on. Now I'm feeling sharp again. I've got my good conduct medal, you know, my sharpshooter's medal over the lapel, old Betsy. I'm all, boy, I got that tie pulled up groovy. Here it is. You're all excited because we're getting out. This is the first time we've been out in about 3 months, me and Gasser. So we rush down to the, you know, post PX where the bus came in, and we took the bus down, the post bus. We took it down to Red Bank. We get to Red Bank. Now, we had no idea where we were going to go. We got out of the bus at Red Bank, and there's a little bus station there. We walk into the Red Bank bus station. It says, hey, fella, where should we go? Where do you think we ought to go? He says, well, fellas, and this is the guy selling the tickets. He says, how much money you got? He says, well, you know, we don't have much money. And where should we go? We know anything about Jersey. He said, I'll tell you what have you ever been to the shore? And I said, the shore? And Gasser says, what shore? And he says, the shore. You ever been on the shore? I said, no. I had never in my life seen the ocean. I wonder how many of you can actually pinpoint the day, the first day that you saw the ocean. Now, I guess to most of you who live on the East Coast, you can't conceivably remember that day. But I can remember the very day that I first saw the ocean. I can vividly, because it was such a fantastic moment. You know, after all, we had heard of the ocean in Indiana. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, the news trickles back. And we'd heard about that. There were rumors about this ocean. And I'd even seen pictures, you know, like on the globe. There was a blue place that said ocean on it, see? And it was all very theoretical up to this point. And so the guy says, why don't you guys... here. He says, all right, I'll make out a couple of tickets. So he goes, bop, bap. And now we have two tickets to Asbury Park. Commonly called by the Jersey natives, Raspberry. So, we got two tickets to Asbury Park. Now, I had never heard of Asbury Park. So we got on our bus. You know, the bus finally came, and there were some ladies and some nice people and a couple of GIs. It was just the bus from Red Bank to Asbury Park. So we get on this bus, and we sit back, and we're all excited. Our fresh suntans. We've already blown a couple of bucks now. Remember, you know, for the tickets. So our total capital was about 10 smackers. So we take off, and the sun was beaming down. Beautiful countryside. Gasser turns to me and says, what are you going to do the first thing you get there? I said, I don't know. Yeah, well, what kind of a place is Asbury Park? Gasser said, well, I don't know. I guess it's not the shore, you know, but what would you like to do? And with that, a nice lady across the aisle who has been listening to us, you know, there's always a certain crowd of nice ladies with blue hair, and they've got these net shopping bags usually with them, who listen to GI. Somehow they feel kindly towards the boys. And so she leans over there. She said, did I hear you say you're going to Asbury Park? And the gasser says, yeah, yeah. Because you get a little leery about this kind of thing. So she says, yeah, yeah. What, have you ever been there before? I said, no. Well, you'll certainly enjoy it. I would like to invite you to my home if you'd like to be. I have a place where you'll find a friend. And I'll tell Mabel that you're coming if you'd like to come to my home. And to here's my telephone number. Here's with my pencil. Grace, do you have a pencil? And Grace is sitting next to her. She's got purple and blue hair. Say, Grace, may I have his pencil? Yes, my name is Mrs. Claire Armstrong. And here, you call me, and I'll tell Mabel you're coming. Well, she gives me this piece of paper. You know, we had no intention to go into this old doll's house. You know, after, what are you going to do? So we're very nice. So thank you very much. I stick it in my breast pocket. See? So we drive on to the countryside. Now, suddenly, we are in Asbury Park. Now, I had never been in a shore town before. And the first thing that hit me about Asbury Park, and I'll try to be as truthful and realistic as I can at this point. Maybe you're curious how an outlander is first struck by a coast town. The first thing that hit me about it was the curious light. I was kind of surprised. This is a kind of a milky, odd light, which I have since come to realize is the light that you find in every coast town. It's an ocean light. It's very different from any other kind of light. I guess there's salt water in the air or something. And it was a kind of strange light. And everything really was clean. It was the way I always thought Jersey was. It's really clean, you know, and everything is sort of sun-washed and all that. We pull into the bus station. Gasser gets out. He says, well, here we are. I still didn't see the ocean. We're in Asbury Park. And so we start walking up this main drag. We're just walking along. We just see a lot of people past the dime store, past Woolworth. It's a beautiful summer day. When suddenly there it is. There's a thing of blue, just a swatch of blue across the end of the street. Just cut right across. I said, Gasser. He said, wait a minute. Stop. It's the ocean. I said, my God, it is. It must be. Can't be nothing else, Gasser. And so we ran down the street about three blocks, and there it was. There it was. The magnificent ocean. Yeah. The magnificent, beautiful ocean. And that parade was forgotten. All that stuff out in the drill field had disappeared into some kind of strange, mystic limbo back in the innermost recesses of the garbage heap of our mind. The army was gone. Everything. The ocean. That beautiful ocean was laying out there, fantastic in blue, gray, green, heaving up and down. Up and down, heaving, and I had never seen anything like it. And that was the first time I ever saw a boardwalk. You know, you always hear about boardwalks. Everybody knows about them out here. But they don't have boardwalks, friends, in Indiana. They just don't. They do not have boardwalks in Kansas. They have never seen a boardwalk in Nebraska. Are you aware that there are vast numbers of people in this country who have never trod upon a boardwalk? A plain, ordinary Asbury Park boardwalk? And even to this day, it excites me. And so, 5 minutes later, Gasser and I are walking along the boardwalk. And there are thousands of GIs, all kinds of people, the sun and the sand. And I remember looking down in, over the railing at some guy that had made some... Have you ever seen these guys who make the sculpture in the sand down there and everybody throws them dimes and quarters? He made this sculpture. Yeah, he's down there. We're walking along. Gasser buys himself a box of this saltwater taffy, which instantly got his teeth clamped together and he couldn't open it for about an hour and a half. We're walking along through the sunshine, and we saw the place that eventually was to prove one of the great, well, a truly educational experience. Because I don't think education really comes in schools or books or when you expect it. There was this big sign hanging out over the water on a sort of like a little pier. And the sign was cut out in the shape of a lobster, painted red. And under it, it said, seafood. Gassy says to me, what do you say? I said, looks pretty good. Because the one thing we wanted more than anything is this is what you do in the Army, you know? You dream of great meals. Now, that isn't to say that the Army food isn't good, but it's plain. And not only, it gets monotonous. They go through the usual, you always have, one of the big things you have in the Army, at least in the Signal Corps continually, is salmon loaf. They go for salmon loaf. Don't ask me why. A lot of salmon loaf. You get a lot of liver. That's true. You get a lot of mutton. And here was seafood, which incidentally is something you often got in the Army, but it was called fish, and it was on Friday. This was something else. So Gasser says, let's go in. So the two of us walked in through this place, and it was the first time I'd ever been in a genuine ocean seafood place. Now, seafood out in the Midwest consists of frozen halibut sticks, you know, the kind you get at the A&P. And it's just the kind of thing you read about once in a while, people having a great seafood dinner. You just don't get seafood dinners in Goshen, Indiana. And here we're in a real seafood joint. And they had a veranda out. You know, the water is out there in the ocean. And so Gasser sits down at the table. The waiter takes us back. He sits down. And they give us a fantastic menu. This menu, well, you know, like the size of a tablecloth. Huge menu. Made out of some kind of a shiny paper. So it had fish and birds and all that stuff all over it. It had eels and it had manta rays and it had anchors. And it said Captain Billy's Seafood Emporium stuff. So open it up there. Boy, I'd never heard of all these. What's a pompano, Gasser? What is a mackerel? These are vague names that you see once in a while in the aquariums, stuff like that. You don't eat them, you know. Who eats a, you know, porpoise? Who eats a, what is this, a dolphin? Dolphin? You mean you eat dolphin? Gee, dolphin. Dolphin. Gasser, what are scallops? To me, a scallop was always a scallop potato. I never thought of a scallop as a seafood thing. I don't know. Scallop potatoes, I guess. So we sit down, we're waiting. Waiter comes over and he says, gentlemen, what do you have? And he's rattling the forks and the spoons, you know, they do rattle in front of him. What do you have? Do you two gentlemen care for a drink before you have your meal? Say, you two guys are down at Monmouth, all right? Listen, boss has got one rule around here. Anybody shows up from Monmouth gets a drink on the house. How about a drink? What do you care for? That's the first time I ever had a drink bought for me in the house. And by the way, I was not a drinker. At that time, I was just being weaned from Pepsi-Cola. In fact, I was making the transition from Pepsi-Cola to Coca-Cola, which is a little, you know, different. See? And I said, oh, a drink. Free? He says, yep. What do you have? Says, I'd like to suggest our big boy martini. So we have a big boy martini. And if you don't like a martini, how about a big boy Manhattan? Well, I'd heard of Manhattan. See, that's something that Fred Astaire was always drinking, you know, in the Ginger Roger picture. So I says, yeah. I love a Manhattan. Yeah. He says, one big boy Manhattan coming up. How about you, bud? All right, I'll make it two big boy Manhattans. How about on the rocks? All right, straight up. Okay, straight up. All right, straight up. And away he goes. He comes back with two big gobboons full of Manhattan. I'll tell you, you know some of these places make these big triple types and they call them Big Boy or Big Charlie Special, that kind of thing. This thing must have had about a half a pint of, you know, real Kentucky rot gut in it, you know, mixed with a little sweet vermouth. A couple of cherries bobbing up and down. And see, so I take a hold of this thing with both hands. Now, I you know, it's a big baby, see, and I sip it. Shoo, boy. Wow, my eyes instantly, you know, eyeballs start to sweat. Well, Gasser, who did not know how to drink any more than I did, Gasser was 6'6", and by the way, he was born an Eagle Scout. I mean, he's the ultimate straight arrow. Gasser takes his Manhattan and he holds it. He says, well, here's mud in your eye. Something he had seen in bad movies. He says, well, here's down the hatch. Have you ever seen two ice cubes bounce off the ceiling? Whew! He shot them straight. Well, of course, the waiter could see he had a couple of live ones, you know. So he comes back. He says, hey, the boss says, buy a couple of rounds again here. So with that, I got another big Manhattan sitting in front of me. Now I've got a half of one, and I've got another one. And poor old Gasser, of course, he's sitting over there. You know, he's turning green already. He has sprayed his tie a whole bit. Well, 5 minutes later, our seafood dinner, which we have ordered. See, I ordered the fisherman's platter. You've had fisherman's platters. I mean, it comes with all these little brown things, about five, all different little shapes, you know, with the coleslaw on the side and the potatoes. You know, a great big stack of French fries came along with it, seeing the ketchup he lays down, or tartar sauce, which I had never seen in my life before. Can you remember the first time you ever saw this stuff? Well, this is the first seafood dinner I ever had, see? So he puts the tartar sauce down there, and Gasser has ordered a lobster. And that lobster arrived. Oh, man, it was a big mother. I'm telling you, that lobster looked like it was some kind of a gigantic insect laying on its back, you know, with its feelers sticking up in the air. And Gasser says, oh, here we go, man. And he knew about lobsters, by the way. I didn't know about fisherman platters, see, but he knew about lobsters. Well, the first thing I picked up in my fork, I picked this thing up, saying, look at it, what the heck is this? I start to cut it, see? And I can't figure out what it is. Just a round thing, see, with little knobs on it. So I start to cut. It's covered with this, you know, this brown coating. So I start to cut this thing with my knife, see? I can't figure out what it is. So I take a fork of it. I start chewing. Wow, it's fantastic. Ooh, wow. It's, have you ever known that feeling of Sartori being turned on to something? You know, they say that there are natural-born alcoholics who may go all through all their life and never taste alcohol, so they don't know they are. And the minute they taste it, it turns them on totally. Well, I was a natural-born seafood cuckoo and didn't know it all those years. It was fantastic. I ate this thing. I didn't even know what it was. See, I ate it down. I just, you know, it was crunchy and great. I ate this thing down, so I'm starting to eat these other little round things. I said, what are these things? Gas says, I don't know. I hold it up. It was the first scallop I ever tasted. So, ooh, wow, I knocked those down. I take a fork and I pick this other thing. I said, what's this, Gas? He says, I don't know. It looks like some kind of a bug or something. Oh, it was unbelievable. It was my first soft-shell crab. I love them. Well, I ate this entire seafood platter in less than a minute and a half. It just went right down. I practically inhaled it, see? Gasser has knocked down one lobster. We have also knocked down two martinis, or rather two Manhattans apiece. With that, the guy comes over. The waiter says, all right, men, how about a dessert? How about a big dessert? How about a dessert? Come on, fellas. And he says, here, would you like to take a look at the dessert menu? So I look at the dessert menu. And this is the first time, hey, don't go, Art. I want to ask a question here. Another thing happened. I read the dessert menu, and I said, what's this? And he says, you mean you never had Nestle Road pie? I said, no. He says, I'll bring you a double slice. He says, it's great. He says, if you have never had New Jersey Nestle Road pie, you haven't had pie. Well, have you ever had Nestle Road pie? You don't know what it is? You don't? Well, am I the only one who knows what Nestle Road pie is? Well, that's a thing they say. Well, I don't know what kind of Easterners you are. Anyway, Nestle Road pie is probably the gooeyest, sweetest, gloppiest, calorie. But what it is, it's like thick whipped cream. It's a pie that's made totally out of whipped cream. And I mean it. It's a whipped cream pie with little pieces of dried candied fruit in it. And sprinkled over the top is grated bitter chocolate. Now, if you like that pie, it's great. And of course, at that point, see, I'm 17, so pie, and I'm just out of the Army. I got a weekend, see. And our dessert in the Army consisted of this, they called it pudding. It was the stuff that they pour over the, they used to pour it over the corned beef hash when you go through the line, see. So we never really had desserts, not like this. So I said, oh, man, this is great. So I ate a double slice of Nestle Road pie. Okay, a fisherman's platter, two Manhattans. I've eaten maybe four trays full of celery, maybe 250 olives. I've eaten 7 pounds of French fries with two bottles of ketchup poured over it. I have eaten four little containers of tartar sauce. Gasser has knocked down two lobsters. He ordered another one. And now we are out in the sun, that beautiful sun, wearing our lovely suntans ready for fun. Full, great, the ocean moving out there the way the ocean always moves, the first time we ever saw the ocean. And we are free, free, free. We've paid for our meals. We still got a couple of bucks in our pocket, with nothing but grooviness ahead of us. And he sees these two chicks sitting on a bench. Well, we sit down on the other end of the bench. Gasser finally breaks the ice. He says, hi. One of the girls says, hello. Gee, you're a soldier. Yeah. Oh, so are you. Yeah. You want to do something? Yes, what would you like to do? Well, I don't know. What's your name? My name is Eileen. And this is Gladys. Gladys leans forward, little fat one with pimples. Hoi. The first true Jersey accent ever, you know. Hoi. I said, hi. I always was an evil mimic. She said, oh, hi, you from Jersey? I said, yeah. She said, where are you from? The only town I could think of. Little Shrewsbury. Oh, yeah, I got a cousin there. And 5 minutes later, we're swinging. We're walking down the boardwalk. Boy, on top of it. And I could feel this warm Manhattan bubbling up in front of, you know, kind of hissing and sizzling. I never had one before. Little did I realize that the intermixture of Manhattan, Nestle Road pie, French fried potatoes, soft shell crabs, fried clams, a couple of slices of mackerel is an explosive mixture. Especially when you've been eating Army food for 2 years, which is very basic. So, Eileen says, hey, let's go on a ride. What do you say? Come on, let's go. And they have one of these rides. Ever since this time, oh, I get sick when I think of these rides. You know these rides? It looks like some kind of a big rod that's on a big fulcrum. And on each end of the rod is a kind of a cage that swings around. You know that little bippy? Stay out of that. That is a human. That's a wearing blender for people, I want to tell you. So we pull up in front of this guy's place. It's two bits apiece. So Gasser says, come on, let's buy a couple of rides apiece. What do you say? Here's a buck. Come on, we're going to come up on this baby. We're going. So the guy says, all right, two guys, two rides, let's go, everybody. Ah, he pulls the lever, and we piloted his car. It was a big orange car, and he throws the iron bar across, and he says, all right, all set in there? All right, here we go. And you could hear the music. They had music. No, the second one. They had a music playing, see? And he's got this little, you know, it's one of these things with a band playing a whole bit, see? And we start going up in the air, see? We swing it up. All of a sudden, I'm looking out over the whole countryside. Across from me is Irene, see? And across from Gasser is Gladys. We're in this little cage in our bright new suntans, full of all these goodies we have just paid for. We are now 250 feet in the air. It just looked like miles. See, and I can see the sun down there. I can see the sky. All of a sudden, the sky is around my feet. The sun is swinging around, going around again. And I hear all my coins flying out of my pocket. I see my fountain pen float past me. I make a grab at it, see? And Gladys is laughing. She's loving it, see? And Eileen is flipping all over the place. And all of a sudden, I can feel something coming up. The thing swings down again. And I see Gasser. Look, Gasser, suddenly he is looking me right in the eye. He got swung up around the ceiling. He is total Nile green. Have you ever heard of Nile green? He is Nile green. He is like an Easter egg about to give birth. I want to tell you. Up we go again. We go swinging around. The band is playing. And that music keeps going. And people are cheering. And all of a sudden it happened. I don't know how to tell you this. It just happened. I know. You ever heard of Pompeii? What happened to Pompeii? All right. I could feel it coming. It's just coming up. I tried to stop it. I could see purple lights. Purple, green lights. Just like a shot. It just shot out of me. It just went... Shot out of me. I could see all kinds of little pieces of egg, all kinds of little pieces of scallops. They want a cherry out of the Manhattan. All over Eileen. Eileen just... Ripping all of her, and Gasser goes, whoa, it's catching, you know. We swung around for about 2 hours in this thing. When you buy 4 tickets, you just go round and round and round and round. And 1 hour later, we are back on the bus. I am so sick, I can't stand up. And there's a nice lady in the bus. Says, look at those drunken GIs. Oh. My uniform is covered with used French fried potatoes, with old ketchup. We're sitting in a bus, absolutely run out. We got about 12 cents between us. In comes Sergeant Kowalski. He's going back to camp, too. And he sees the two of us. He says, I see you guys had a good time, huh? Says, yeah. Well, it was a great time. Right, Gasser? Says, yeah, it was a great time. Yeah. And do you know, for years, we kept up the pretense that we did have a great time that day in Asbury Park? And so tonight, I salute anybody who is seeing the ocean for his first time. It's an exciting, heady experience, friends. But look out for those scallops. They'll turn bad on you before you know it. You can't trust nothing. WOR New York, next, Lester Smith and the news.
WBAI New York, next, the Jimmy Dore Show. Yeah, we're a minute over, so I guess we're just going to turn it over to Mr. Dore. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back Sunday night, 8 to 10, with the Golden Age of Radio. Back here next week, midnight, Wednesday, for the Dustbin of History. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to WBAI New York.